a little bit of a buffer.
Okay.
Okay. I think whenever you're ready, you just go.
Whoa, we are back for the 11th episode of our weekly podcast, Home Mat Advantage. My name is Sam Herring, and I'm accompanied by Jude Swisher here on this beautiful Final X week. I'm pumped for Final X Rutgers. I'm actually going to be going, and Jude's working on getting himself there. But I'm super excited for that. So how's it going with you today, Jude?
Oh, man, Sam, it's going awesome. I'm so excited for Final X. Hopefully I can get myself a ride, but I just can't wait. I would like to remind our listeners, first of all, thank you guys so much for giving us really great questions. Like, our listeners are the best, Sam. But they've been giving us these really, really good ones through our Twitter, which is at HMA_pod. We also get emails. Our email is hmatadvantage@gmail.com. You can follow us at our personal Twitters at samwise_2006 and at FRL_questioner. But Sam, oh man, Final X Rutgers is here, and we are going to get this whole world team determined. But what say you, we start at the beginning?
That's a good place to start.
That's what I've heard. All right. So, first of all, starting at 65 kilograms, maybe one of the best matches of the night. They're all going to be so good. Like, Final X Rutgers is where it's at. But Yanni Giacomahalas versus Zane Rutherford. At the U.S. Open, Yanni defeated Zane 6-4. Is that right?
Yes, that is.
6-4 in the finals of the U.S. Open. And now it's time for Zane's chance to get a rematch. At the World Team Trials, Zane defeated Jordan Oliver in two out of the three, it was only two matches, in two matches straight. And that's a match that's historically always been very, very close. But with Zane comes up short. So it's good to see him get that win. Hopefully you can keep it rolling into Yanni and maybe get another revenge win. Sam, what's going to go different in this match in compared to the U.S. Open?
Well, there are a number of things that could go different. But one of the main things that I've kind of noticed with their matchups, their styles, and the technique involved in their success and their offense and defense, I'll just say if I were Kale, I'd be heavily training Zane on a lefty single leg. And I say the lefty single leg because Yanni has such an amazing ability to force his opponents when his opponent shoots a righty high crotch or righty single leg, he shoves the head to the outside into a lefty high crotch so that he can sit the corner, and he is so good on that side. So if Zane is able to start shooting lefty single legs, then Yanni just pushes him right into his righty high crotch. I don't know if I'm losing you right here, but that's just kind of what I'm thinking. Just to Zane to kind of outthink that. And the Penn State coaching staff with Kale, Casey, and Cody are so good at those kind of adjustments to flip a whole result of a match.
So Yanni is excellent at – it doesn't even matter what kind of shot it is, but he's great at getting that shoulder to the outside of the body. Because once you slip that shoulder and you get an angle, it's really, really – you're in really great scoring position. Mm-hmm. But hopefully – so as we've said before in previous podcasts, Zane has maybe the best training partner in the entire country to prepare for Yanni. And his name is Jason Nolf. You know, both of them are extremely funky guys. And so hopefully Zane has a game plan. And they'll go in, and this will be a really exciting match. And also, you know, my prediction is that this is going to go three matches. And whether Zane loses the first one or Zane wins the second one, hopefully he can make adjustments match to match to try to counteract Yanni.
Yeah, for sure. I got a question for you. If one of these guys wins, which result would be more likely to have the fans think that we got the wrong guy at the weight? Would it be Zane winning or Yanni winning?
It's got to be Zane winning because
yeah,
people are crazy about Yanni. Like, after he beat Bajrang, after he tech JO, he beat Molinaro and Zane. Like, this guy's on a tear, and he's easily the fan favorite here. This is a great segue into. I was on Instagram, and they had like an Instagram poll of like, oh, who's gonna win, Yanni or Zane? 93% of people in the poll said that Yanni's gonna win. Like, that's a little whack.
that is insane.
No matter what people think, this is gonna be an extremely, extremely close match. Like, it was really, Yanni won it in like the final minute or in the second period. He won it very, very close.
Right.
So it's not gonna be a blowout, guys. It's not gonna be like Yanni dominating, because Zane Rutherford is a very tough guy. Well, maybe.
Yeah, you never know with Yanni. You never know. He could show up and low single Zane, lace him up and tech him twice. Yeah, that's a possibility, but I would never pick that to happen.
Yeah. But Yanni Zane is going to be such a good match.
It really is. And, I mean, you just heard a little bit of just one position that I think is going to be huge in this match. But there are so many more. For instance, Yanni's attack rate from the U.S. Open to beat the streets, and that was a week apart, was insane, the difference. He mostly waited for J.O., Molinaro, and Zane. He kind of let them get in on his legs, and he would start sitting in the corner and working for ankles. But then at Beat the Streets, he took about 18 shots in that match. And it was really surprising to see him take that many shots. So yeah. I'm really interested to see what kind of Yanni shows up. It'll be super fascinating. And I really hope that it goes 3 matches. Just because I get to watch that match for 18 minutes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sign me up.
it's going to be great. Sam, do you think Zane's physicality is going to pick up? Because I think there was a difference between the Zane at the U.S. Open and then the Zane at the World Team Trials. Because it was basically a boxing match between Zane and J.O. at World Team Trials. What kind of Zane do you think we're going to see?
I really don't believe that physicality will hinder Yanni just because of his elbow control offense. He wrestles kind of like a Russian. So because of that elbow control offense, I don't think Zane's aggressiveness will have anything to do or hurt Yanni at all. So I really don't think that Zane's hand fighting or aggressiveness will pick up at all.
Right. Well, I think that Zane's really good at getting under guys, like getting under their skin, getting on their nerves. And it was clear in the JO match that he was getting on JO's nerves there.
But Yanni's really on. And tapped him on the beard.
He just like tickled his beard, tickled his chin.
Yeah, that was so weird.
But Yanni. Yanni doesn't get really fazed by that. He doesn't really care. He's just there to wrestle.
Right.
So I don't think the physicality of Zane will be an issue for Yanni at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I totally agree. What's your pick?
It's gonna be.
Is it Zane in 3?
That is my pick. I'm gonna take Zane Rutherford in 3. I think that his corner and they're just gonna make really great adjustments from match to match, and Zane's gonna show up to make this team.
Well, he lost. I got a question for you. I'll give you my pick in a little bit. But first,
all right.
I want to ask you this. He lost to Rashidov at the Yarigin, in January. Zane did. And Rashidov is about the number 3 or 4 ranked guy in the world right now, behind Odaguru. Bajrang's
and then
high.
Bajrang.
Yeah. So, how do you think that Zane's improved that much since January? Do you think he'll win a world gold?
I don't know about how he's gonna. Well, yeah, of course. I don't know how he's gonna do at Worlds. I'll still have to think about that, but I do think that he's going to make this world team. I think he'll beat Yanni in this best of three. Because, as you see, nobody's unbeatable. Everyone has weaknesses. And if you find those weaknesses, then you're sitting pretty. So.
Right. So, who do you think would be a better rep for wrestling the world? Like a guy that will have better success in Kazakhstan? Would it be Yanni, who's beaten Bajrang, the number one guy, or Zayn, who lost to Rashidov?
So I think that when you put it that way, I do think that it is Yanni is a better rep because his style is so different that it catches a lot of foreign guys off guard.
Okay.
Where Zayn is he's a lot more traditional. He's very physical, a lot of hand fighting. He grits him out. But Yanni has a different sort of mentality, a different sort of mindset. So I think that Yanni he probably would be a better rep.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. All right. I'm gonna
what is your pick?
Give you my pick. Yanni in two. He proved at the U.S. Open that he was better than Zayn. I feel like there's a lot of adjustments for Zayn to make, but he has to make them so well that he's the best in the world at these things. He has to be, if he wants to win this match, like I mentioned the lefty single leg, Zayn's going to have to be the best in the world at a lefty single leg. He's going to have to be that good, and he's going to have to be the best in the world at finishing his shots just because of Yanni's ability to maneuver out of positions and into his own. I just think it's going to be really, really hard for Zayn to do it. I also believe that Zayn can do it, especially with the coaching staff that he has and the partners that he has. I absolutely believe that Zayn can do it. But I'm just not going to pick it. Yanni proved that he's better than Zayn at the U.S. Open and then went and beat the number one guy in the world. I really, really believe that Yanni's going to do really well at the world level.
I agree.
I wish he could get more tournaments in overseas. If he wins it, he's going to get to Daegu, where he might get Shidov, but that's a very...
You're just being selfish. You just like seeing Yanni wrestle. You're being selfish. You just like seeing Yanni wrestle.
I do.
He's great.
But yeah, I can't wait to see that. That matchup, I think it's one of the best of the night. You know, it's interesting. It's the second matchup. So it goes Gwiz Gable, then Yanni Zayn, and then Jake Derringer, and then finally Nicol Cox is the so order that's going to go.
I wonder where if David was wrestling, I wonder where he would fall in that.
I would want it to go first because that's probably the most confident pick. The biggest favorite is David.
Right. David over Downey. All right. Well, I think we've spent enough time on Giacomo Hollis and Rutherford, but let's move on. Next match of the night, Alex Derringer versus Kyle Dake. Oh, my gosh. It's happening again, guys. Sam, what is your prediction? What are your thoughts on this match?
Well, it's going to be really hard to make a prediction just because of the fact that Kyle is not competed since late October of 2018, and it's going to be June of 2019.
Yeah.
And it's been known that he's got a really jacked up knee. So I don't know what Kyle Dake's going to show up, but I'm going to assume it's going to be 100 or as close to 100% as he can be. And so because I haven't seen Kyle Dake compete at a low level, I'm going to assume that he's still just fine. But just technically speaking, stylistically speaking, I would have to say that from their last, like watching their last match, that was the 2018 U.S. Open, where Dake won it 5-5. I think one of the biggest tactical uses or technique abilities that was in that match was Dake keeping his left arm super, super tight to his body with his elbow up high. And I think that was because of Derringer's amazing dump or barrel roll, near arm, far leg, whatever you want to call it. And he succeeded with that. It was Dake keeping Derringer away from that dump. He was able to pull that match out 5-5. Also, since then, Dake has improved greatly on his own offense. I mean, he lost to Gadgey in January 6-0, and then teched him 13-0 in October.
He had
a 5 in that match, too, that teched him.
Really?
He was up 8-0, and then he 5'd him. But anyway, I think that Dake has improved so much with his own offense, and then if he can tactically keep that elbow tight, he'll be able to pull it off. But if Derringer is able to find a way to Dake's elbow, whether that be attacking the wrist and pulling it down into his own tie, or finding the opposite side, where Dake keeps it, he keeps his right arm on the ground, kind of like a gorilla.
Right.
So if Derringer could attack that arm and find his dump on that side, or attack the left wrist, I think that'll give him much more of a chance to win. But for the time being, I'm going to take Dake in two.
Two? Wow.
Yeah, in two.
Okay.
Well, all I feel like if one guy's better, if I'm going to pick a guy, then it's going to be him to win both. If I think a guy's better, it's going to be hard for me to say that, well, he won't be better in this match, but he'll be better in these two.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point. No, I do. I agree. So
I may pick a three later.
If they go to three matches, then I'll probably pick a third match.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What knee is hurt? Do you know which one it is?
No idea. Hey, but hopefully I'll be able to notice it watching Dake warm up at Final X, something like that.
Yeah.
Hopefully I won't be able to notice it because it's not bad.
That would be optimal.
But if it's bad, then I would like to pick up on it.
Yeah, and he hasn't said that he's going to be wrestling or... I mean, he said he has been, but you can have up until 48 hours before you can postpone it.
Right.
It just depends how bad he is. But, I mean, when would it post? How long would he have after he postpones it?
Oh, he could postpone it to anywhere between 2 weeks before the World Championships. So he could realistically postpone it to August 20th.
Is how much... Is that going to make his knee a whole lot better? Is it worth it for him?
Well, I have no idea the severity of his injury. But if it's terrible, then I should hope that he postpones it so that we get the best guy to Kazakhstan.
Right, that's true. But also, something to think about is that he still hasn't wrestled in a competition up to that. So
that makes sense.
well, my take... It's a little more pessimistic, and I don't think that it's kind of the exact same thing that FRL has been saying for the past month. It's Dake has been gone too long, and that his knee is too badly messed up that I don't think he's going to be able to beat Alex Derringer on his first match back. I don't think he can do it. Like, if it was 100% Dake, then yeah, of course, mm-hmm. I'm his guy. I'm in his corner the entire time. But it's not.
Yeah,
Dake's not at peak performance. He's not at. He hasn't competed in anything since last October.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think Alex Derringer is too much to overcome when you're not in peak performance.
Right.
So, and obviously, I haven't seen him wrestle. I haven't seen him wrestle. I don't know the severity of his knee, but. I don't have high hopes. I don't think he's going to be the same Kyle Dake that we saw last year. So I'm taking Derringer for this. I think I'll take Derringer for two. I don't think Kyle can beat him.
Does against guys like Gadgey?
I think he will do just fine.
The same as Dake, you think? Or anywhere closer? Because Dake dominated the World Championships.
Right, so when was the last... He didn't get scored a single point. When was Derringer's last freestyle competition? Like, national, world level? Well, team, well, I mean, like, world level. Yeah, international.
I'm not sure, but I can look it up pretty fast. While I'm doing that, let's do picks. You got Deringer?
I think I got Alex Deringer.
Okay.
And, no, if Kyle Dake was 100%, then I'm going to take him. But he's not, so I'm taking the safe bet.
So the last international event that Deringer competed in was Denkolov in March, and he won it. That bracket, as far as I know, was not super stacked. I did not recognize a name in that bracket that was a world medalist from the previous year. I know that there were some world medalists in from years before. But then the one before that was Yarjin this year. That was in January, and he got bronze.
So, you know, and that's considered to be one of the toughest tournaments in the entire world. I think Alex Deringer, he's going to do just fine. After seeing what we did at World Team Trials, messing up Zahid, you know, Alex Deringer is going to do just fine.
Mm-hmm. I can.
All right.
I can totally understand that. I'm going to take Kyle Dake. I already said why. I just feel like I cannot say that Kyle Dake is not going to be 100%. Just because I don't really know. I don't really know if he's just tweaked it, sprained it, and he just doesn't want to compete because his coaches tell him not to.
I'm sure he wants to compete.
I don't really know what's going on. So I'm just going to take Kyle Dake. Because he's proved he's the better wrestler on multiple occasions. But something to take note of for the Deringer fans is this match has gotten closer and closer every time they've wrestled. So the first time they wrestled, I believe, was in Paris at an open tournament or something. And it was a tech 10-0 for Kyle Dake. The next time, it was 5-5. And then the time after that is this time. So, who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? All right. Moving on. Another insanely good match. Oh, my gosh. Jaden Cox versus Bo Nickel. Cox has been on the freestyle scene for a couple years now. 2018 world champion. And Nickel just graduating college. Sam, what are your thoughts?
Well, a lot of people are going to say that Nickel has too much of a gunslinging nature, or he's got too many crazy moves with high point potential. But you have to keep in mind Jaden Cox's upbringings with Mike Ironman. I mean,
very scrambly guy.
If you have a Mike Ironman trained wrestler who's insanely athletic and flexible and just a freak of nature, really. Bo Nickel, who can splatle Sammy Brooks after he had just gotten third at Big Tens. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, this match could be straight pandemonium.
It will be insane. I can guarantee that. It's going to be awesome. This is actually the match that I am the least confident about in my take. And I don't even I don't even have a whole lot of reasons. But I'm going to take Bo Nickel.
Okay.
Don't ask me why.
Oh, I know I'm faithful. Exactly why, Jude.
Oh, I know exactly why, too. Because Bo Nickel is my guy. Penn State Jude right here. Yeah.
That's okay.
But, it's going to be, it's anybody's guess. Basically, just flip a coin. You know, who even knows? What, we shouldn't even have the wrestling match. We should just roll some dice. And we'll see. That'll decide it. Because who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Well, so how many common opponents do they have? I know they both wrestled Hayden Zilmer and Bo Nickel teched him. Jaden Cox beat him.
And teched him.
He it was beat him. Same. Yeah, it went two matches, but it was like a close one and then a tech. But the tech was with an ankle lace. So
yeah.
That's
well, you know what?
We don't
Nomad wrote an article. He said it was basically talking about why Bo Nickel has no chance in this match. I don't think I'm going to go as far to say that, but I'm going to be as close to that without saying that. I mean, Jaden Cox he's truly amazing, and he's underrated, really. That's what he said in his interview at Beat the Streets, and it's true. He has medaled at Worlds in his first three tries. I mean, you look at guys and he's beaten guys like David Taylor, like Kyle Dake to get into this spot. I mean, nobody, guys like David Taylor and Kyle Dake have not done that. I mean, there are so many amazing wrestlers who haven't, in their first three tries to make a world team, did not.
Yeah.
Did not medal, did not even make a world team. And it's truly amazing what he's been able to do at the world level. So,
I think if there's anyone to beat Bo Nick, or is there, if there's anyone to beat Jaden Cox, it's going to be Bo Nickel. He's the best in the world at, or not the best in the world, second best in the country at least, 92. Mm-hmm. He went through all the challenge tournament, and he's just obliterated everybody. So it's definitely Cox and Nickel. These are the two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Sam, I don't want to cut you off here, but super quick.
Yeah.
Who do you think the fans would be? So, you know, like the Molinaro thing when people really wondered if he was our best guy that we were sending. Do you think we would have that sort of situation here with Cox and Nickel?
Well, to be truly honest, it depends on what fans you're talking about. Because, I mean, Nomad pointed out in his article that Nickel is one of the most popular athletes in the sport. He has
he's
about
awesome.
100,000 followers on Instagram. That's full 66,000 more than Jaden Cox. So if you ask the lesser of the fans who haven't totally studied, they would be like, oh, yeah, for sure. Bo Nickel's the better guy.
Bo Nickel. And that also goes hand in hand with Jaden Cox being really underrated. Like, nobody talks about Jaden Cox, and everyone talks about Bo Nickel.
Yeah. But if you look at if you ask the true fans who really study the results and study the everything that happens with these guys' wrestling career, they would say Jaden Cox is the better guy.
I agree.
They would say if Bo Nickel won, they would be more scared that we got the lesser. I mean, Jaden Cox just won a world title. Bo Nickel hasn't proved that yet. Now, if he goes and wins a world title this year after beating Jaden Cox in two matches, then yeah.
Then we'll have something on our hands.
But right now, Jaden Cox is the best in the world, and he is the better guy to send.
Well, Sam, I would argue that even if he goes and doesn't, if he doesn't medal at Worlds, but he beats Jaden Cox, if Bo Nickel beats Jaden Cox but doesn't go to Worlds, I would argue that he's the better guy. He won.
Well,
he won the match.
The better guy to send. You said that Yanni would be the better guy, but you're picking Zane.
Okay. All right. That's right. Okay. Continue. Sorry.
Okay. Jaden Cox I mentioned this earlier, has unreal abilities with his flexibility.
Flexibleness.
And also, another thing I'm going to keep stealing from Nomad. Don't put it on the shirt.
Flexibleness.
Don't do that.
Okay.
Flexibility. Okay. I got it. I'm going to steal from Nomad again. And this was a point that I really agree with and I've thought about for a while, is the last time we saw Bo Nickel just get messed up was 3 years ago against Zahid Valencia in freestyle. That was in 2016, and Zahid Valencia just killed him with lefty outside single, over and over again, and Bo Nickel was not able to stop that. But guess who has one of the best outside singles in the world at any weight right now. Jaden Cox.
Who is that, Sam? Oh, wow. I should have guessed.
So, I just feel that Jaden Cox is just so much better. He's proved himself. He's the veteran. I cannot pick Bo Nickel, even though he is so good. He is so good. This match is going to be the last match, and for good reason, too. This is the true main event. It's going to be so fun to watch.
I agree. I agree.
Do you have Nickel in, too?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I got Nickel in, too.
Cox in, too. I got Cox in, too.
All right, dude, we haven't agreed on a single one. Wow.
I don't know if we will.
Isn't this so different? All right.
Yeah.
The last match.
Hold on. Don't move on. Oh. Don't move on.
Oh, okay.
I gotta stop you.
Pump the brakes.
So Jaden Cox pretty much dominated the world last year. First of all, if you pick Bo Nickel. So if Bo Nickel wins this, how does he do against the world level? Against the Iranian, who I cannot pronounce the name. Sharifa from Azerbaijan, and the Russian with a Z that I cannot pronounce his name.
I don't know. Well, nice effort. Actually, Sam, I don't know. I really don't know. I haven't studied enough of 92. Yeah. Like, I've...
Jude?
So, I got to do some more studying, and I'll come back with a better answer.
I lost you for a second there, but
oh no,
I think it picked back up. Right. Well, I'd have to say I know this weight a little bit, but to be honest, 92 kilos is one of the weaker weights. And somebody's gonna get mad at me for saying that because Pat Brucky might sign up in 92. But it is a weaker weight, and that's the truth. Jaden Cox destroyed it last year, but below it, I mean, there aren't super high-level guys. I think they're staying in 86 with Yazdani and Karuglia.
Yeah.
And then at heavyweight, or at 97, you got
Sagittalive.
And so I feel like guys are staying in those Olympic weights rather than moving out of those to 92. So
right.
That's
well,
just
I mean,
what I'm thinking.
I agree. Well, Sam, are we now ready to move on to our last and final event?
Sorry.
Okay.
I just had to talk about that real quick.
It's okay. It's fine. So, the last men's freestyle match of our, the picks, is Nick Wisdowski, who's multiple-time world team member, versus Gable Stevenson, who is also a multiple-time world team member, but not at senior level. So, Stevenson just messed up Adam Kuhn. And I was thinking about our other shows in which we were like, oh, yeah, Kuhn. Or you said, like, there's a big, scary man waiting at the end of World Team Trials, and his name's Adam Kuhn. And then Stevenson just messed him up.
I did.
So, you know, the picks always got to come back to bite you.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, I don't know. Sam, what do you think?
Big,
what do you
scary
think about
man waiting in Final X?
What do you think, Sam?
So, this one, you said that Cox Nickel was the one that you weren't really sure. No, you said, which one did you say was your most unsure?
Cox Nickel.
Cox Nickel, okay.
Cox Nickel.
I'm going to say this one's my most unsure of all of Final X. I mean, throw in every
all
single match. Lincoln, Rutgers.
Even Downey Taylor?
Even Downey Taylor. I'm going to pick Downey for that one, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. Sam, we might have to end this call because of this heresy.
All right. But anyway, getting back to the Gwizdowski season, I really don't have a great pick for this, nor great reasons, because I don't know. But I'm just going to go out and say I've got Gable Stevenson because of what he did to Adam Kuhn. And because of how bad that he proved me wrong, I feel like Stevenson has such high potential. But I'm just going to say both these guys are super athletic. I think equally athletic, which is good news for Gable Stevenson because of his struggles with Anthony Cassar and Greg Kirkfleet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that when they're equally athletic and they wrestle, honestly, they wrestle very, very similarly. They can get to legs from the outside, and they finish insanely fast. I would think if you did a timer, Nomad likes to do this, where it's from the time you penetrate to the time you get the takedown. I bet that if you looked at Gwizdowski and Stevenson's time, their finishing time, it would be insanely fast.
Super quickly.
But also, their overcollar snaps. They both love overcollar snaps, and they're really, really heavy. So their styles are super similar. And they're both, I would say, equally athletic, and they're equal in size. So this matchup,
right.
I think
they're basically the same person.
Basically,
it's like wrestling a mirror.
Yeah.
Well.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I know how you're very undecided, but I would disagree. I would say that this is, I think this is going to be all Gwiz for the most part,
really?
For this one reason. Gwiz is a very athletic heavyweight, and as we've seen in the past, athletic heavyweights cause Gable Stevenson problems.
Right.
Anthony Cassar and, you know, Kirkfleet, just like you said, both of them are very athletic. Kuhn is a big guy. If you play Kuhn's game, then he's going to get you. If you stand there and try to out-muscle Kuhn, then he's going to beat you. But
right.
Stevenson didn't. Stevenson used his athleticism to beat him. But Gwizdowski, mm-hmm. Cassar, Kirkfleet, these are all very athletic heavyweights. So that's why I say that I think Stevenson's going to have a lot of trouble with Gwiz, and I think Gwiz is going to take this.
Well, that's why I think that Gwiz is athletic, but I think that Gable is equally athletic. I think that his athleticism is on the same level as Gwiz's, and it's been proven. They both beat Adam Kuhn straight off of athleticism. And Gwizdowski lost to Kyle Snyder, and it was mostly athleticism.
Right.
I feel like they both struggle with athleticism. I think they're both equally athletic. But that is a controversial idea.
Are you gonna say the more athletic heavyweight is the one who's gonna win? You're gonna say whoever can move better, whoever can move their opponent better, and whoever's quicker and whoever gets their shots better is gonna win?
Well, honestly,
because I would argue that's just who's the better wrestler.
In this match, I'm gonna say that whoever can remove themselves from the hand fight in a manner that has as little penetration as possible will win this match. I think that's going to be the key tactical idea or tactical move for this match is removing yourself from the hand fight, the tie up, and getting to a leg with as little penetration as possible. Yeah. So I'm just repeating myself. But
yeah, no, it's great radio. What I'm going to say is that, you know, arguing, oh, who's going to be more athletic and who can be more athletic. I don't think that's what the match is dependent on. I know we did spend time on it, but I really got to say that it's going to come down to who's the better wrestler. Because none of these guys have a whole lot of tricks. You know, there's not a whole lot of funkiness going on. It's going to be very clear that whoever wins this match is the better wrestler.
Right. I would agree.
And that's what's good about heavyweight is that there's not a whole lot of flukes. So.
I have
but
a question
regardless,
for
whatever's
you.
Whatever's going to happen. Okay. Is it?
You've got Gwizdowski winning. I've got Gable winning. Gwizdowski is a 2-time world bronze medalist. We haven't had a world champ at heavyweight since Stephen Neal in 1999, I believe.
Oh, wow. I wasn't even born then.
Yeah. It's been a really long time since we've had a national champion or a world champion heavyweight. Do you think that Gwiz has improved, or it will be year number 20 without a heavyweight world champ?
It's not that Gwiz hasn't improved. It's just the guys that he's going to have to go through, or Gable. I just think it's going to be too much. Like, have you seen Agul? That dude's very, very big.
Yeah, yes.
So I don't think our heavyweight is there yet. No, not that I'm saying.
Neither one.
Let me clarify. Neither one of them. But not that it's not that. It's not us. It's actually the competition, I think.
Right.
I think just the other heavyweights there are just monsters. They aren't they?
Yeah.
So I would argue it's not us, but it's them.
You and I both know that I think that you truly believe that it is us, and you believe that it's Cale Sanderson causing us to not have a world champion heavyweight when he's holding back Star.
Yeah, well, it is us. Sorry, it's my bad, Sam. I forgot Anthony Pizarro would be a world champ this year. Just saying. But he doesn't want to be, so we'll, he doesn't waste his time on little world championships or anything.
Little
like
world
that.
Championships.
You know what that's like.
NCAA titles.
Just NCAA titles. Okay, Sam, let's move on.
All right.
Well, so that about does it for our freestyle wrap up. And we'd like to just mention some women's in Greco. Now, we're both going to, huge apology to our listeners, but both me and Sam, for the most part, really don't have a clue what we're talking about in women's in Greco. But we're trying to learn. We're trying to learn. We're doing our very, very best. Hopefully, when we go to Rutgers and we get to see this high-level wrestling, we'll be more informed. But right now, we just don't know a whole lot. So,
yeah. I wish I did, though. It's kind of tough to have such a shallow knowledge of an area of wrestling. It kind of hurts.
No. It makes us look bad.
Yeah.
But, Sam, what are some exciting, like, women's or Greco matches that you're looking forward to?
Well, just looking at the lineup, I'm just going to say some matchups that I know who both of the wrestlers are, and I think they're both really good. The first one would be Becca Leathers versus Jenna Burkett. That one I do know is going to be a really good match. I think it's going to be really high level. Those are two women that I know who they are, and I know that they're both very good. So I'm excited for that one. I'm excited for 50 kilograms, Whitney Condor versus
Condi.
I was looking at Anthony and
combined them, squished them together.
But Whitney Condor versus Victoria Anthony. I think that one wrestled last year at Final X, so it'll be a repeat. I remember watching that one. That was super entertaining. But again, I don't know a whole lot about this stuff. But then the individual wrestler that I'm looking forward to watching in women's is Tamaria Mensah-Stock. I know who she is, and she's been dominating everything for the last year and a half, I'll say. She won 3 Yarjun titles in a row. That,
oh my gosh.
Broke the record for most of them in U.S. history. Including Kyle Snyder didn't do that. So it's really, really impressive what she's been doing on that world level. She just dominated in Italy. She's a really, really talented wrestler who I cannot wait to see at the world level at the world championships. I don't believe she's had the same success at the world championships that she has at other big, big events. UWW, that is.
Nice. But to all the women's wrestlers who are listening to this, we're very sorry we don't know more. But hopefully, you know, in the next year, now that NCAA is, there's been a whole lot of talk of women's wrestling. Like, hopefully we're going to get to learn a whole bunch more. So I'm very excited for that.
For sure. Hey, Jude.
Now, yes, there, Sam.
You got any Greco matches you're really looking forward to? Because I'm not, I'm probably less knowledgeable about Greco than I am at freestyle. Women's freestyle.
I love, love Greco. Greco's awesome. But I don't, I definitely spend a lot more time on freestyle. But some matches for that sure. I'm excited for is Kamal Bey versus Pat Smith. Kamal Bey is, like, just go look up some highlight reels of Kamal Bey.
You don't even have to look up a highlight reel. Just watch a match and it'll be a highlight reel.
Yeah, basically. He's just really special. Another match I'm excited for is Joe Rao versus Ben Provisor at 87 kilograms. Provisor actually lives, like, 5 minutes from my house. Like, he's really good friends with my coaches and stuff, so that's pretty cool. And then a wrestler that I'm excited for is Kendrick Sanders. He has some very big throws as well. I love watching Greco. Greco's really exciting. I find it really captivating because it's all about little tiny control positions.
Yeah.
Because if you move, if you're 1 inch off balance, then you can get thrown on your head. And so having right. wrestled Greco before, like it's actually really stressful. But I'm really excited for all of this. Final X Rutgers is going to be so good. Everything about it is going to be great.
If I'm honest, I feel like Greco is pretty boring. I understand those little movements are huge, but that's not entertaining. But when the big throws comes, that's way more entertaining, but I feel like that's too it's very seldom that that happens.
All right. Well, maybe you should just watch some more Greco matches then.
Maybe I should. Maybe. But compared to a freestyle match, I mean...
No, I agree. I know what you're
at. Yeah. Third place match at U23 is at 57. I can't remember the guys wrestling in that match, but it was 33-22.
Oh my gosh.
Was the score.
That's a lot of points.
It was insane.
But let's see, Sam. We are closing up on our time, so let's jump right in. We'll answer some quick questions, and I think we'll call it a show.
Let's
see.
I like the idea.
So this is on topic. Maxwell Adams asks us, at Willie at Flow, so that's Willie Saylor, says that making a cadet world team is the pinnacle of high school wrestling. Do you guys agree, or do you see another accomplishment that should be that should hold or share that title? Well, I 100% agree that for freestyle, making a cadet world team is the pinnacle of high school wrestling. For folk style, I would say the pinnacle is Super 32. Those are the two tournaments.
Well,
and I had
as a high school wrestler, which one do you value more?
I'm going to say so it's different. If you're thinking about long-term wrestling, then you should say uh-huh. Akron, because if we're thinking about improving Team USA as a country, like freestyle-wise, then Akron's the one to go, because people committing to freestyle, young freestyle goals or freestyle goals early, that's what gives us growth in the senior level.
Right.
But for folk style, Super 32 takes the toughest of the toughest and they throw them into a giant bracket, and the like you could argue that whoever wins Super 32 is the best wrestler in the entire country in right. folk style. You can make a very serious argument. So they're both different for different reasons. Right. What do you think, Sam?
Well, I want to say something obvious that I think is missed, but it's kind of silly. If you want to value that, then the Cadet World Championships should be the pinnacle of high school, winning a Cadet World title instead of just being a team.
Well,
but
that's right.
Other than that, I feel like it depends on what you're looking at. If you're looking at getting recruited by college coaches, Super 32 is the place to go. A thing like that is the place to do, or the tournament to do. But if you are looking at straight success and a biggest goal of yours or something like that, it would definitely be Cadet World Trials, Cadet World Championships, should be the pinnacle of high school wrestling. I don't know that it currently is, but I want to ask you, Jude, say you're Kale Sanderson, And okay. You've got to hold out your lineup, in your lineup, and you want a kid. Do you want the Super 32 champion in the toughest weight class, or do you want a cadet world champ?
Team member? Junior world champ?
Let's just say team member, because that's what Willie's talking about here. Cadet world team member.
Okay, well, should we say...
At the most stacked weight.
A world team member, not necessarily a champ. And then, is it a Super 32 champion?
Yes. USA.
I mean, it's pretty common knowledge that Cale Sanderson loves getting world team members. Like, he...
You as a college coach.
Not Jude Swisher.
Cale. Yeah, Jude Swisher is the head coach
pulling up college. Homeschool wrestling team. No.
Yeah.
The Swisher household wrestling team.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably go... Jeez, I have no idea. I really can't choose. I'm going to go Super 32, I guess. I'll just pick Super 32. Don't ask me why. I just had to pick one.
Yeah.
But, all right. But great question, Maxwell Adams. Let's see. Let's start going through these questions. Wrestler Never Dies as a Cat fan asks, which Final X location will have more world medals? I tallied it up in my head. It's 3-3.
Really?
You can figure out which ones it is for yourself.
Wait, I don't like that.
But I'm picking medalists. 3. I know, right?
All right, I'm going to have to go through this real quick. Gilman Fix. I say that's a world medal. Lincoln. That's 1 point.
Man,
61,
okay.
Graf Cologne, Lincoln. I'm going to say... No. But he proved it last year. Yes, a world medal for Lincoln.
Yes, okay.
2-0.
All right.
65, yes. Zane Yanni, yes.
One Rutgers.
Now, 70. I'm going to say no. I don't think Deacon or Green has the capability to medal. Has the capability, but I don't think they're going to be able to put it together in Kazakhstan.
All right.
74 is Lincoln, Burroughs, Imar, absolutely. 3-1, Lincoln. 79, Derringer, Dake, absolutely. 3-2, Lincoln. Downey, I'm going to say no just because he hadn't proved it, but I believe that he has the capability.
He's coming for you, dude. Just got on the wrong side of Pat Downey.
Don't kill me, Pat. I've been on the wrong side of him for a while. I believe in him, though.
Nice.
Anyway.
Oh, do you now? All right.
So 3-2, Lincoln. 92 goes to Cox Nickel, absolutely. 3-3. And then Snyder, yes, 4-3. And then it's going to go to heavyweight, and I believe it's going to be another medal.
You do?
So it's 4-4.
I think I had Cologne not placing, and then or not Cologne. I think I had Gilman not placing, and then Quiz not placing. I think that's what I went with. So I had 3-3. You had 4-4. But it's all tied up.
Fix beats Gilman, and I think he'll be able to medal. You right. Russia lover.
Sorry. You know, I got my loyalties, you know, Penn State and Russia.
Yeah.
Okay. Sam, so I think we got time for one more question. Which one do you want to go with?
Okay. Let me look through these real quick. I got to, man, these are good. We got a lot of good questions. I
want
to go with
this one. Oh, well, if you want, we can answer the rest of them on next show. Maybe.
Next show's going to be pretty busy. Maybe.
All right, maybe we'll make it a mega show. You can let us know on Twitter.
All right.
Okay, Nate Clemens.
Yeah, that one reads, if you could only pick one, what is the biggest factor in helping kids jump levels? Coaches, practice partners, mindset training, or something I didn't mention?
Okay. I'm going to answer this one, and I think it's without a doubt mindset training.
Okay.
I think that is the key. Not I'm speaking from personal experiences, but also every one of these guys wrestling in Final X 100% believes that they are going to not only win Final X, but also win a gold medal. Everyone believes it with all of their heart. Like, that's how they got there.
Right.
It might be because their coaches are awesome and they have great training partners. But at the core of it, if you don't believe in yourself, you're never, ever going to succeed. It's not going to happen.
Right.
So I say mindset training is 100% the best.
Okay.
If I'm fighting a bear, or if I'm wrestling a real-life bear, Anthony Cassar, the only chance that I have to win is if I believe in myself. I might not be faster or stronger or better looking or a better wrestler or, I don't know, all this kind of stuff. But if I believe in myself, that is the only chance I have. Right. So I believe it is mindset training. Sam, what's your answer?
You know, I believe that it differs. If you take a kid and you bring him into the first day of practice and you go, you have to believe that you will win, and then you throw him out and you train him up mentally and then you throw him out to wrestle best kid in the country or whatever, he's going to get killed. But I feel like, so the biggest growth sister maybe? Assist? My goodness, I'm terrible with words.
What was the flexibleness?
Biggest factor in yeah, flexibleness. Biggest factor in jumping levels for kids definitely differs between the level of the kid and the experience level and the love of wrestling that he or she has, whatever it may be. So at the first level, it's definitely coaches. Coaches teaching technique, coaches teaching love of wrestling would definitely be at that first knowing wrestling level. Then maybe as you get better, it would be more practice partners based so that you both, so that you can make another jump. And then I definitely agree with you that at the highest level or at a very high level, it is mindset training. You have to be able to, and it's not just believing that you will win in matches, but it's in practice going there to get better, and you push yourself as hard as you possibly can. That's all mindset training. So I feel like at a higher level, it's mindset training. And then below that is more coaches, practice partners based. And then something that you have to add in there, something that he didn't mention, would be commitment of parents and commitment of kid.
Right.
/ geographical location. Geographic location.
That matters. I think that matters less, but continue.
I do too, but that does play a factor along with the commitment of parents and of wrestler. Because a kid can have great coaches, great practice partner, great mental training, but if he can't travel anywhere to go wrestle, he's not going to become the best. And if he doesn't truly believe that, or if he doesn't really love wrestling and really commit himself to wrestling, he's not going to jump those levels. So I believe that it's a really, really different.
Nice. Well, we will answer the rest of the questions on next show. But guys,
possibly,
this has been another episode of Home at Advantage Wrestling Podcast. Oh my gosh. We turned, this was an awesome show. This was great.
I really think it was. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for doing this with me. Thank you so much to our awesome litners. y'all are awesome. None of us can speak today. I don't know what's happening. But guys, that's a wrap for episode 10, 11?
11.
What episode is this?
11.
11?
It's number 11.
Oh, my word. It says 10 in our doc. 11.
Yeah.
Whoops. Please send us questions. You can send us questions. Our Twitter is at @HMA_pod. Our email is hmatadvantage@gmail.com. You can follow us on our personal Twitters at samwise_2006 and at @FRL_questioner. Just in case you haven't already. Please share this with your friends. We are on all, basically, if there's a podcast platform, we are on it.
Except for Stitcher.
Except for Stitcher. Sorry about that. But thank you guys so much for listening. Sam, you have anything else for us?
Well, next week, by the time you hear us again, we will have half of a world team, and we will recap that next week, and we will predict Final X Lincoln, so that will be a big mega show. Other than that, thanks for listening, and I'm out.